Head downstairs. Is this part of it? We're testing out new ground for Pastor Tom. This is where he's going to be speaking from tomorrow. I'll be the first. All right. Man, it's so awkward up here. All right. I love that song we just sang. It's one of my favorite worship songs, because it reminds me at just the right time that I'm powerless. You know, there's nothing I can do, nothing I can try to do that's going to compare to what God is trying to do. You know, and God's trying to do something through us. And that line says, that first line is, not by might, not by power, by your spirit. So it's reminding us it's his spirit that's truly what's powerful, and that we need his spirit in order to do what he's calling us to do. So that's kind of a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about today. Today I'm going to be talking about sitting still. And I like how that song kind of reminded me a little bit of, as I was preparing this word, that in order to allow the Spirit of God to actually work through us, we have to encounter him and then continually encounter him in our quiet place. And in order to get to a place like that, we have to sit still. And the stillness is that quiet place where it's just you and the Father, and he's speaking to you. You're communing with him. That's the word. What communion means is to share a relationship with someone, to break bread, so to speak. And Oleg spoke last week. It's almost kind of funny. We're playing tag with each other now. God was speaking something to him while I was speaking, and then while he was speaking last week, God was speaking to me and reminding me of exactly what I'm going to speak on today about sitting still. And Oleg was talking about how Joseph was wrestling a man, and a lot of times that man is yourself, or it's your flesh, you know, and it's in your old man, and you're fighting it, and you're fighting that man through prayer. You're fighting that man in that prayer environment. He had boxing gloves up here, right, Oleg? You have to beat up that old man, and that takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of prayer to allow God to surrender yourself and allow God to renew you, to create something new out of it. And Jacob had a new name. His new name was Israel. You know, he was no longer the deceiver. He was now a name of hope for generations to come. And as I was listening to Oleg, as he was speaking about that, I was reminded of what it takes to have a consistent prayer life in order to battle something like that, something like identity, for example. And it takes an attitude of stillness. It takes an attitude of separating yourselves from all this noise that the world is so generously giving to us, you know, and that we so easily come under, you know, because it's so easy to get into the wave and the tide of what the world is trying to do, what the world's expectations are, and get lost in it. See, it's one thing to get, you know, follow the flow. It's another thing to get swept away with it, you know. We have to follow the flow in certain things, like when it comes to raising a family, going to school, providing, things like that. It's normal responsibilities of life, but a lot of times these things, they take and carry us way too far. So far, we no longer hear the voice of God. So far, that we're no longer able to battle that old man effectively and continually go into the prayer room and beat up that old man, that old image, and surrender before the Lord, and then go into a new identity and continue building an identity, and then find our purpose in God and things like that. I was reminded of our society in general, just like the hyperness and like how much is expected out of us, how much it robs us. And just like when I spoke a couple weeks ago, I hit those statistics hard again, you know. I went on Google, good old Google, I pulled up some statistics about What has changed from somewhere in the 90s, and I actually had one statistic pop up, is from 1970s to the year 2000s. What has changed in the business of everyday life? And I had a few interesting numbers come up. Some of them were quite surprising. So the first is, the business has increased almost 130%. So what we're doing every day, the things we're involved in, the things we think we need to be involved in, the things we're doing, you know, with our school, our job, and everything, it's more than doubled. You know, and it's crazy, 130%. So we're doing more than twice of what people were doing in the 1970s. Another thing is our stress levels have increased 200%. So that's three times higher stress levels. Our work schedules have increased up to 40%. And this one, I was a little scared because it's kind of relative to me. On average, we lose 30%. We're getting 30% less sleep than people that were in the 1970s. So it's like this toxic, these toxic numbers here. People aren't getting enough sleep to rest their bodies to be ready for the 2 to 3 times more requirement that they have to face every day for the rest of their lives versus someone who was living in the 1970s. And I started thinking, it was just a wild thought, and I was like, how do our grandparents and our parents, they had such good prayer lives. And Oleg mentioned the other day, he's like, I know some of these older people, man, they knew scripture. I mean, they're just on it, you know? Oleg mentioned, he's like, sometimes I'm like trying to say a verse and I can't complete it, and they just know it, you know? And I was thinking, I was like, well, after he said that and as I was preparing my word, I was like, one thing that they had back then was more time. And not necessarily that we don't have more time now, it's that we manage our time in a whole different way now. Back then, they dealt with less responsibility, so they spent more, they made more time for God. They did something very specific and intentional, and they made time to be in the presence of God, to be in His Word. And that's why they have so much more in their heart. And I believe that right now in the modern age, where we live now as young people, I believe that the number one thing the enemy is using against us is busyness. He's doing everything to keep us from being still. He's doing everything to throw everything our way to keep our eyes off of God, to keep our attention, our minds off of Him. And I want to look into a story in Luke that talks about a character in the Bible who paints a perfect picture for us. It's only like 4 to 6 verses, and it talks about Martha. And everyone knows about Martha on some level. And Oleg has a nickname for her, Martha. Martha's a good person. She has a good heart. And she does something for Jesus. Jesus is out there doing ministry. He's out there with His disciples. They're serving people. They're encountering the presence of God. They're encountering healing, deliverance, all this stuff. And Martha comes along, from what I read, the research I did is... she invites Jesus, but she doesn't only invite Jesus, she invites the whole tribe, basically. So it's Jesus plus the 12 disciples. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were more people. She invites them to her house, and her house is in Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to start, that's where we're going to look at in this passage, in Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, which is Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And like I said, she welcomes Jesus into her home. And I want to bring this into parallel with our lives as believers. A lot of us, we welcome Jesus into our hearts, into our home. We make Him Savior. We allow Him to be Lord of our life. We say, Lord God, we renounce our sins, we believe in You, we lay down our life, and we accept You as our Savior. That's the parallel we're making here. Verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His word. And it says, who also sat. So this sounds like it's an implying that Martha was sitting there for some time as well. just like Mary was. And back then, when someone sat at someone's feet, it meant that they were a student. They were someone who would sit at the feet of the priest, for example, and they would learn, and there would be a teachable spirit. So Mary, she had a very teachable spirit, and she was ready to receive what God was ready to speak to her in that moment. And it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, who is Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. We're seeing this transition where Martha gets a mentality where what she was doing, which was preparing food, serving Jesus in the home, it was a good thing. She was doing a good thing, but that swept her away from that stillness of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it just took her, and it became a priority in that moment. And all of a sudden, Martha is more worried about something so invaluable, something that wasn't going to last, while Mary, she caught on to something. She caught on that the Savior of the world is in this home, and I have the chance to sit at his feet and be taught and to learn and to hear his voice and to have him speak into my heart. And I'd be able to be in his presence. And Mary, she caught that stillness. She understood that in order for her to catch what Jesus was doing in that moment, she had to stop. She had to stop and sit and become still. And Martha didn't catch it. She got a whole new mentality, and she ran to the kitchen. And she began she got so caught up in the food, in the temporary, in the something that wasn't gonna last, and it began to become her world. And it actually led her to become upset with those around her. That she was trying to, she felt like she was doing something good, but in reality she was losing everything. The Savior of the world was in her home, right in front of her face, and she was losing that intimacy with him. She wasn't getting that intimacy that was right there with us. And it brings us into parallel as believers that we invite Jesus into our heart, and that's where it stops. We get Jesus in our home, which is our heart, and we hit the brakes, and all of a sudden, I'm saved, but where's our prayer life? Where's our life of devotion? Where's our life of reading the Word? And we never transition into that Mary mindset. We become too caught up, and this is a very dangerous ground for especially people who serve in the church, is that serving in a church becomes more important than being in the presence of God. And sooner or later, you will burn out, and you will become frustrated, just like Mary was. Mary got to the point where she became frustrated, she began burning out, and she's becoming upset with those around her. And Jesus just reminds us in verse 42 with a simple line, this one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary chose relationship. And God is promising that if you choose relationship with me, it'll never be taken away from you. This one line I wrote down as I was reading through the text. Ben, you can throw it up for me. It's too much of a good thing can be a bad thing when it distracts you from the best thing. Like I said, Martha wasn't doing anything wrong with preparing food and everything like that. You know, it takes time to get that chicken roasted, to get that salad ready for the guests in your home. It's understandable, but that good thing became the Lord of her life in that moment. And all of a sudden, too much of that good thing actually became a bad thing. Why? Because it separated her from him who is right there, the most important thing in the world, most important person in the world. The best example we have is Jesus, and Jesus continually withdrew from the crowds when he was ministering to, to be with the Father. It was his withdrawal where he found the stillness from life to be with the Father and to hear what the Father had to say to him and for the people. The priority of Jesus' solitude and silence is everywhere in the Gospels. It's how he began his ministry. You can remember when he went into the wilderness. It's that place of stillness, of separation, where he became so evident in the Father's heart. It's how he dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how he dealt with the constant demands of his ministry and cared for his soul. It's how he taught his disciples. It's how he prepared for important ministry events. It's how he prepared for his death on the cross, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's Jesus' solitude that he went deeper in his love relationship with God, he knew as Abba Father. And I was reading through Psalm 46. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire." And then verse 10 right there, "Be still and know that I am God." It's all that God is doing something so awesome through the words of David. God was doing so much amazing stuff, and sometimes we miss it because we haven't taken the time to slow down, hit the brakes in our lives, and get into the presence of Jesus. I looked up another translation that just had some interesting wording to it. It's the New American Standard. It says, "Cease striving." So stop trying so hard for everything that doesn't matter. And "cease striving and know that I am God." This one quote from James Golis, really good quote. It says, "Learning to slow down and be quiet before the Lord is one of the greatest challenges we face today in our quest to enter in and experience true intimacy with him." It's that thing that the devil caught on for, especially this generation, is grab the believer. He knows you're already saved, but flood their life with as much things to do, as much responsibility or the thought that of responsibility. Create a culture and an environment where there's a lack of prioritization, where God is no longer first, he's second, third, fourth, somewhere down on the list. And if we get to him, we'll get to him today. And the devil, he's figured out that key for this generation, especially for believers, where a lot of believers become saved, but past that, they don't go anywhere. There's no intimacy. It's all of a sudden, your whole life becomes of your power, your might, but not by his Spirit. And that's a very crippling life to live in, because God wants to work through every single one of you. And he has a plan for you. You weren't created for no reason. You're here for a reason. And in order to do what God has called you to do, you have to be in tune with his Spirit. That's why the first church, Jesus told them, "Don't even go out and do anything until I've gone to heaven and my Spirit has come down on you." And they waited, I believe it was 40 nights, Oleg, right? How long did they wait in prayer? They waited for quite some time before the Spirit of God came over them and flooded their life, you know? And they had to do something, and that's exactly the point being made here today, is they had to be still in the presence of God. They spent time in prayer. They spent time seeking him until the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they spoke out in tongues, and they prayed so loud in tongues that the people around them thought they were drunk. And that's the power that was now in them. It was no longer their might, their power, but it was the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, his Spirit within those people. If you ever heard of a firefighter when you were like in elementary school, I remember they would teach us that if you're on fire, what are the three things you do? I could barely hear you guys. Stop, drop, and roll. That's if you're on fire, you know, and that's what we're looking for as believers. We're trying to be on fire, but I love how the Spirit, everything in the Spirit moves in like against the grain. So the world tells you, if you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll, which is, please do that. If you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. I'm not going to say don't do that. If you're on fire, stop, drop, roll until that fire's out. But in order for us to catch the fire of Jesus, you have to do the same three things, but two words are different. It's stop, look, and listen. And that's what's going to catch you. You want to catch on fire for the Lord. And in order to do that, you no longer stop, drop, and roll. You stop, and that's the most important thing right there is the word stop. It's to Slow down the business in your life. Begin to prioritize Jesus as your priority. Everything else will come under that. But you're going to have to hit some brakes on some things in your life. And then as soon as you hit that stop, you begin to look to the Father in that quiet place. And then you begin to listen to Him. And that's what's going to put you on fire. That's what's going to change something within you to go and do what God has called you to do, wherever it is He's called you to do it. And that's the thing that is going to change Utica. That's the thing that's going to change your family. That's the thing that's going to change your personal life, your thought life. It's going to change everything about you, is being in the presence of God. Is getting rid of the Martha mentality of doing a bunch of things, not because they're wrong. Many things that we have to do, we do because they're good. School, you know, college, families, we got to get food on the table if you already have a big family. You know how your parents, whatever it is, but for us young people, it's the biggest things are school relationships, you know, and the list goes on, but they've become Lord of our life. We've received Jesus, but those things have become Lord of our life, and we're running around like Martha all over the kitchen trying to get things done, and a lot of us catch that mentality of, especially if you're serving in the church, is we're trying to do these things for Jesus. When God, the Father, is really trying to get you to sit at His feet. And those other things, they'll take care of themselves. They weren't going to starve there anytime soon. And we're called to be like Mary, where we prioritize Jesus first. What is He saying in that moment? What is He doing in that moment? What is He calling you to do throughout your day? What is He calling you to change to make Him first? And a lot of times that's going to require us to begin sacrificing things. Like, you already know the list, you know. I won't have to remind you of what things we might have to cut out, but what is God speaking to you right now that's saying, this is the Lord of your life right now, I'm not? And is that something that you need to let go of to allow God to fill that space and become that priority? And that's what I feel for 2020, a year where we're going to begin to see clearly, I think, a year where we're going to catch clarity is one of these areas, is God, show me, create something clear in my eyes. Help me understand what is taking away time. What is taking away you from within my life? What am I trading up instead of your presence? What am I doing that shouldn't be there? It might not even be a bad thing, but what am I putting in place of where you should be? And that's what I want to pray about today as we stand and close. Is God, create a clarity within my heart to help me understand what needs to be cut out, what needs to change, where do I need to hit the brakes in order to stop, look, and listen to you. So let's just stand, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you for what you're doing this year and in this place, God. And we thank you, God, for the amazing story and example you've given us through the story of Mary and Martha, Father. And it's the caller, God, to hit the brakes on certain things in our lives that are hindering that time with you, Father. I pray, God, that in the next few moments, in the next few hours, the next few days, weeks, whatever it is, Father, that you bring clarity to those areas that need to stop, Lord God, and that need to be put aside, that need a break, Lord God, in order to allow you to become Lord of our life, in order to allow you to become the center, Father, that we want to come and sit at your feet, God, and learn from what you're trying to say to us and look to you, God. I pray, Father, that you give us a teachable spirit, a spirit that's willing to sit still, Lord God, in your presence, to slow things down, Father, because the world's only getting faster. It's only picking up speed, Father. Teach us to slow down and dig into your word, to dig into your presence, to dig into what you're saying about us and what you're saying to us and through us, Father. I pray, God, that you just release something new within our hearts, Lord God. That's going to begin to just show clarity in our hearts of what needs to go, what can stay, Lord God, and how to make you first in our lives, Father. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in this place, in this church, and for every person that's here, God. We worship you and honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, I just want to, before we go downstairs, since, you know, consider youth is over right now, but if we can just pretend you're at someone's house or we're at my house or something, and I just want to take some time if you guys could have a seat, just like 3 more minutes, all right? And maybe one of you guys could just play the keyboard a little bit. And I just want to, we won't do like worship, but I just want you guys to hear a little bit from God. I feel like God is putting an emphasis on quietness tonight, and I want us to hear. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions, the to-do, and you're just going to just relax, pretend no one's next to you. Sorry. And we're just going to hear, all right? So, well, okay, so just close your eyes. And I want you to tell God something. So maybe it's how much you love him or something. Tell God either how much you love him, something you're thankful for, or what you like about him, his character. Maybe it's a phrase, maybe it's something that you thought of he did in your life. I'll give you an example, as if I'm talking to God, which I am right now, and I'll say, God, I love that you continue to go after me, even when I'm undeserving and when I'm not focused on you. I love that you continue always to come after us in your love and your mercy. All right, and now I want you guys to say, God, how much do you love me? Maybe I'll give you a picture, maybe a thought of something, maybe a word. God, how much do you love me? And I want you guys to ask him this question, something that he put on my heart, because we know it's true, but sometimes our hearts need to hear it from him. And it's, God, do you have control of this year? Or do you have control of me, of my year? God, can I trust you with 2020? And in that moment, as he's speaking to you, or maybe it's just you feel a presence, maybe you don't feel like you hear something, then just like speak to your own heart. David said he was speaking to his soul, and he said, listen, and he would speak to it, or he would say, soul, be quiet. And so I want us to speak to ourselves as God is speaking to us, and just think about the year. Think about maybe everything you gotta do. Don't think about it too much. And just tell your soul, tell yourself that God has control of it and that it's gonna be good. God, I wanna thank you that you have control of our lives. God, that you have control of everything that happens in this universe. Whether the sun goes up or the sun goes down, whether I have more than I could even think that I'm able to do this year, or maybe I don't even know what's coming up this year. All those things you know, all those things you can control and you control. And God, I want to surrender it to you. My year, my worry about the year, my expectations for the year. And God, I want to hear what you have for the year, what your expectations for my year are, and what you see in me and in my year. And I want to encourage you guys to go big, to think big, to dream big for His kingdom. And so this year, I want you guys to allow Him to have control and allow Him to speak to you. And do this often. Do this over and over. When it rises up in your heart, a nervousness, anxiety, a worry, do this. Just stop. Like Ben said, look. Maybe look at some scripture and then listen. All right. So thank you guys for that. And I hope that you can learn and we can learn together how to hear from God. And that's it.